What's up, Eternity? This is Graydon, and welcome back to the weekly podcast. Thanks for joining me. Listen, God has been doing big things in Eternity Church throughout the year, and none of it would be possible without our amazing volunteers. So, with that in mind, this message is entitled Lose the Cape, and Pastor Jesse really wanted to focus in on the why in which we serve in the local church. You won't want to miss this message, so without further ado, here is Pastor Jesse.
We got some waked up people here at Eternity Church today. Awesome. 11 a.m. Y'all should be awake by now, yeah? Yeah, come on. I know how it is. I know that, see, often there's rumors that go around about 11 a.m. people. Have you heard the rumors about 11 a.m. people? They say that y'all sleep till you get to church. But I know the truth is, y'all are so busy and so organized and so on the move that you've already been up since 5 a.m., 6 hours serving the Lord, toiling, working hard, blessing your neighbors, and you've finally got a gap to come to church. Is that right, 11 a.m. people? Yeah, y'all are awake and ready to go. Someone ready for the word today? Awesome. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. I'm absolutely thrilled and glad that you're here today. Thanks for coming. Actually, we've got a gift for you after the service, just out there in the lobby. There's a welcome bag. And if you're with us online, you can go to myeternity.com/new, and we will post you a gift in the mail. But we really are glad that you're here today. I'm excited about the young adults event at 12:30. So come on, anyone in here, a young adult, give me a wave and holler. Come on. Now, I hope I'm not lying to y'all right now. I really do hope I'm not lying to you. But I heard they're going to be Jethro's on the patio this afternoon. Jethro's, come on. Come on. I would trade one of my children for some Jethro's right now. Come on, anybody else? Awesome. So anyway, after the service, young adults out there, that's going to be fantastic. Second and fourth Sunday of every month. But right now, we're going to go to John chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Could you all stand up, as is our custom, tradition, vibe, whatever you want to call it. It's what we do here at Eternity Church. Today's scripture is all about a God that we know. It's all about a woman that we've heard of and some servants that we know nothing about at all. So it's about a God we know, a woman we've heard of, and some servants we know nothing about. John chapter 2. You ready? Awesome. Don't forget to yell at me. This is a holler back church. This is a abuse the pastor while he preaches church. This is a make some noise church. And I'm talking to you online, and I'm talking to you upstairs in the overflow. I'm talking to you on the patio. I don't have to see you or hear you. It's not about me being like, hey, thank you. It's about you being like, hey, thank you. I received that word. Amen. It's all about you receiving the word. So in the room, in that room, online, everywhere. Got to yell at us as we're preaching the word today. Are you ready? Yes. Come on. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mum was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mum looked at him and said, "We ain't got no more wine, Jesus." Some of y'all want your kids to be like Jesus. Anyone's kids like Jesus? Come on, get home. We ain't got no more Jethro's, mum. Where's it at? Come on. See, here's what Jesus says. Woman, you want your kids to be like Jesus? Talk to your mum like this. Woman, what's that got to do with me? Why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. Jesus' mother, 100% totally and completely ignoring the Son of God, says, "Servants, do what he tells you to do." Just ignores Jesus. You got God, the Son of God. An angel came and told her she's going to give birth to God. So God says, "None of my business. This is Nanya. None of my business." And she's like, ignore that. Do what he tells you to do. Come on. This is a good leader. Am I right? Come on, this woman knows what she wants. Do whatever he tells you. Well, nearby stood six stone, big stone jars, the kind that were used by the Jews for the ceremonial washing, and each holding between 20 and 30 gallons of water. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. Now the servants, they're like, I'm not fully aware of what's going to happen, but I think we're going to get some wine. They're pretty excited. Sorry, if you're a teetotaler in the room, God bless you. All good, all right? Hey, I'm not telling you to drink, but this was alcohol that Jesus made right here, all right? And these servants here are like, I feel like there's going to be some wine after this little exercise. So you know what scripture says they did? So it says they filled the jars to the brim. We got some alcoholic servants up in here. They're like, I ain't missing out on an inch of this stuff. This here, this is not holy water. This is holy wine. I want as much as I can get. So they fill it to the brim. Then Jesus told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. So they did that. And then, someone say, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then. And then the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Now, I love this little specific and super obvious statement in the Word of God right here. He did not realize where it came from, though the servants who went and got it knew where it came from. Really? I didn't think they forgot between there and here. They knew where it came from. Then the master of the banquet, he called the bridegroom aside and said, dude, everybody brings out the best wine first, and then they bring out the cheap crap after the guests have had too much to drink and can't even tell the difference. But you have saved the best till now. Now, some of y'all are like, what's he talking about? See, it was custom that you bring out the good wine at the start when everybody's taste buds are functioning on point. And then after their taste buds got a little bit hammered, then they'd bring out the cheap stuff so nobody would know the difference. This guy says to the bridegroom, dude, you brought out the best stuff later on when it wouldn't even count. You brought out the best stuff. And after this, they went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. Have I got anybody in here who wants to take this weird and wonderful story and learn something and apply it to your life today? I heard a story about a man who came to church late, right? A man came to church late, and he turns to the usher and he says, has the sermon been done yet? And the usher turned to him and said, it's been preached, but it won't be done until you go home and do it. Have I got anybody that wants to maybe learn a little bit about the Word of God today? Maybe grow a little bit in church and maybe go and do something about it. Give me a wave. Come on, Heavenly Father, I pray for every person in this room that has an open heart. God, I pray you blow their mind with what they receive from your word today. Heavenly Father, those whose hearts are closed, we pray for a Holy Ghost softening in the name of Jesus. We commit this time to you. We know and we believe and we expect that this moment where the water of the word washes over us, that we will leave this place better than we came in. God, more rested than we came in. God, more separate from the drama and the stress of the world than we were before. And we know that it will change our lives. In Jesus' name, we give it to you. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Take your seats. Let's go. I feel like there's some people in the room that love the Lord. I feel like there's some people in the room that want to receive today. Come on. Have any of you seen the movie The Incredibles? Yeah? You seen the movie The Incredibles? Have any of you read the book Love Does by Bob Goff? Anyone read that book? Great book. Go get it if you haven't. In the book, he refers to Mr. Incredible's insatiable desire to wear a cape. You see, in the movie, The Incredibles. Mr. Incredible is working with his superhero uniform designer, and I've got one of those. Anyone else got a superhero uniform designer? I've got one of those. She's my wife. She always tells me what to wear. And Mr. Incredible's working with his designer, and Mr. Incredible wants to continually draw a cape. He wants to add a cape to every design that Edna comes up with. And Edna tells him, capes get in the way. They're not realistic. They get in the way. All they do is make you look good, but they don't actually do anything good. And he goes through these reasons why a cape might not be helpful. Things like, and y'all know this, I don't know if any of you are superheroes in here, but y'all know, right, that in the real world, when you wear your cape near a turbine on a jet, it gets caught in it. Has anyone had that experience? Give me a wave, right? Yeah. Yeah, it gets caught, doesn't it? And what happens more often than not after it gets caught is someone who, prior to wearing a cape, was a human, is now spaghetti and meat sauce. See, capes are not helpful, all right? Capes get in the way, don't they? You know, a cape, you could be running along, someone closes the door, and bang! You get caught by your cape, right? Come on, stop pretending this hasn't happened to you, right? This happened to you before. Or you're having a fight and someone, they grab you by the cape, wrap it around your head, gotcha. Capes do not help. But Mr. Incredible was infatuated with looking like a hero rather than just being a hero. When we read about Jesus performing miracles in the Word of God, so often we hear him say things like, don't tell anybody what just happened. So often he'll say, don't tell anybody what I just did for you. Someone's been healed, someone's been blessed, but don't tell anyone what you saw or what you heard. Because Jesus didn't need a cape. Jesus didn't need to broadcast what he had done. Jesus didn't need to broadcast his power. He was happy knowing that what he just did changed somebody's life. Like when he healed a blind man, he knew that that blind man would now be able to see his wife. That blind man would now be able to see his kids. That blind man could walk outside and see the wonder of God's creation in all its glory, just as God intended it to happen. He did not need a cape. He didn't need it broadcast. He didn't need to tell anybody. He was happy saying, praise God, you can see. Now, of course, there are times when it might be completely appropriate to tell somebody what you've done. You know, you might be, you might be giving your testimony. Hey, I did this, and God, who is true to his word, came in and did this, right? That might happen. Or you might be, at small group or on stage somewhere trying to explain to people, trying to teach people how to be generous, because some people might be like, I want to be generous, but I don't know how to see opportunities to be generous. Here's the places you can serve. I get all that. You definitely maybe might want to talk to your spouse if God told you to give away $5,000. You know, hey, baby, hey, honey, gave away our vacation fund. Hope you're cool with that. You know, might want to have that conversation. You know, don't just give away the family SUV on Saturday when the family's planning to get to church in it on Sunday. All right? See, I know there's somebody online right now, and there's a wife online right now, and you're super angry at your husband because you don't have a car or $5,000, because your husband gave it away yesterday, and your husband was like, the Lord will provide, and he didn't. You're still at home right now watching online. It will get better. That's why there's conflict in that relationship, right? That's why sometimes you need to talk, right? But come on, you know what? Jesus was happy just serving, happy just blessing people. I find too often in the world, people want an opportunity to serve if it comes with a cape. People want to serve, people want to give, people want to bless, people want to love if it's broadcast, if they get to wear the cape and everybody gets to see it. Hey, there's nothing wrong with people seeing it. Jesus' motivation wasn't to be seen, but guess what? Everybody saw it. Right? Nothing wrong with being seen. It speaks to motivation in the heart. You know what? I also find, though, on the flip side, in this world that's obsessed with capes and fame, that often people who aren't wearing a cape get overlooked, undervalued, underappreciated. People might walk past and ignore someone because they don't benefit their life, or they don't have influence, or they don't look a certain way, or they don't talk a certain way. They're not wearing a cape. Hey, your good deeds aren't better because someone saw it, and other people's value isn't less because they're not wearing a cape. Can someone say amen? The Bible, the Word of God, this collection of books that we call the Bible, inspired by God, written by men, and approved by God. The Bible is a book full of story after story after story after story of ordinary people, capeless people, doing extraordinary things and involved in extraordinary miracles. Story after story of people who aren't wearing capes, people who don't look, don't act, aren't known to be influential, but involved in absolutely miraculous things. And guess what? Their names did not go down in history for so many of them. We don't know most of their names. We don't know what they look like. We don't know where they come from. But we know that they did extraordinary things for the cause of the gospel, for the hope of the world, for the transformation of lives. Amen. You remember the story of the cripple whose friends carried him to Jesus? If you don't know, there was a dude, and I don't know if he had legs or his legs didn't work or whatever. He was maybe he was paralyzed. I don't know. He was laying on a mat, and what would happen is every day people would place him on a corner where he could get money. And then the people who placed him there would take a portion of his money and give him. Well, actually, they would leave him with a portion, and they would take the rest. People profited off this man's misery. But he did have four friends. They were either four friends or four kidnappers, I don't know. There were four people that saw him, and they had heard about this God man named Jesus. That anybody that gets in the presence of God, something miraculous happens to them. And they heard about this Jesus guy that was in town, and they knew about this cripple guy that was on the road. So they said, let's go kidnap this bloke. Let's take him to where Jesus is at. So these four guys take a corner each and they carry him to where Jesus is at. But Jesus was in church and church was full, overflowing, couldn't let anyone else in. OSHA turned up and said, ain't room for any more miracles in this place. OSHA's like, no, occupational health and safety comes first, not salvation, not miracles, not a blessed life, occupational health and safety. So you can't get in here. They're like, you know what's going to happen? If we keep letting you crazy Christians come into these buildings, somebody is going to get bored in the middle of a sermon, fall out a window and die. They didn't know they were prophets. It did happen. A few years later, there was a church service and the apostle was preaching. He was so boring. Scripture literally says that the man preached on and on and on and on and on, and then a guy fell asleep in boredom, fell out the window and died. So OSHA was just trying to protect people. We get it, all right? But these four friends or kidnappers, whatever, they were not willing to take no for an answer. They knew that if we get in the presence of God, there'll be a miracle. They knew if we get this guy in, if we usher this guy in, if we, as Laura said, if we pave the way for this guy, his life will be transformed. I don't care who's making a living off his misery. I want him to experience freedom. So they send two of the guys up on the roof of the church and they send down a rope and they're like, just tie this guy to the rope. We'll drag him up, and they drag him up. He's banging his head, getting hit on the way. He got a few more healings he needs at the end of the expedition. And they drag him up onto the roof. The other two climb up as well. Now there's five of them on the roof, and they start digging a hole in the roof of the church service. Literally digging a hole in church. Can you imagine sitting in church and someone's digging a hole in our roof? Because they said there's not enough socially distant seats in here. And some dude says, screw that, and digs a hole in our roof. Hello, Come on. It makes a lot of sense right now, doesn't it? Come on. And so they dig a hole and they lower him down. And Jesus looks at him and looks at his friends, looks back at the man and says, "Their faith has made you well." Your friend's faith has made you well. Hallelujah. Come on. Who were they? I've heard of Paul. I've heard of Peter. I've heard of James. I've heard of Thomas. Who were these blokes, though? We don't know. We don't know their names. We don't know their race. We don't know their hair color. We don't know their occupation. We don't know their status. Were they slaves? Were they free? All we know is they wanted to be part of a miracle. At least these days, we'd be able to get their names from the police report. Hey, Clive PD, who were those four clowns? Come on. At least we'd know now. We know nothing about them except that they were involved in a miracle. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking right now. Some of y'all are like, you ever going to get back to the text you read at the start of the sermon? Yes. Now, halfway through, I'm going to actually talk about the text, our foundational text for the day, where Jesus turned water into wine and some servants had an alcohol problem. Now, but first, let me tell you, this encounter has a lot in it, doesn't it? Like a lot in it. This encounter shows us the power of God. It shows us the faith of an incredible leader, Jesus' mum, and the faithfulness of some servants that we don't know. It also shows us some completely misdirected credit, where someone pins a cape on the wrong person who did nothing. It shows us the power of God, a God who we know who he is, right? And we know who the woman was, but we don't know who these faithful servants were. We don't know their names. We don't know who they were. We don't know their stories. We don't know if they were married, if they were single. We don't know if they had a horse or a donkey. We don't know if they had a cart or not. But what we do know is that what they did jump-started the miraculous. We know that they were involved in the spark that spread God's power across the known world. We know they didn't get any credit. In fact, we talk about Jesus' first miracle, where Jesus turned water into wine. We don't even talk about them. The title above it, when you go to the Bible and you look at the scripture, the title above it is Jesus turns water into wine. Can I be so bold to tell you, and at risk of some of you wanting to leave, Jesus didn't actually do anything. Oh. But we give him all the credit. And the master of the banquet gave this other guy the credit. But what did Jesus do? Now, don't worry. I know that it was his power. I know that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. I know that he has unending power. I know that he is incredible, all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient. I know that. God is good. And I know that his power at his hand, at his voice, turned water into wine. But if you read the text, Jesus didn't actually physically do a thing at all. Not a nothing squat. It says, Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they carried the heavy stone 20-gallon jars to the tap, as you would say, to the faucet. They filled him with water to the brim. They carried them back. Then Jesus told them, "Now you draw some water out. Take it to the master of the banquet." And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he gave credit to the bridegroom for bringing out the best wine. He didn't give credit to God whose power did it. He didn't give credit to Jesus' mom, who ignored Jesus' desire to not do it. He didn't give credit to the servants who did every single bit of the work. Come on. He gave praise to the bridegroom. He put the cape on the wrong person. You ever done that? You did all the work, but somebody goes over and says, "Thanks, Brad." You're like, "Brad, I carried the stupid jar. I dipped the ladle in there and brought you the wine." This is the first miracle recorded in Jesus' life. This is the moment that sparked the miraculous. And we all talk about Jesus. They all talked about the bridegroom, but it was some unnamed servants. Some capeless, nameless unknowns that did all of the work that kick-started the ministry of God in the New Testament and beyond. That kick-started the display of God's glory, the display of God's miraculous power, His desire to heal, His desire to restore, His desire to set captives free, to cast demons out. It was the unnamed, capeless, unknown servants that kick-started the miraculous ministry of God. Amen. Let me tell you, every week at Eternity Church, hundreds, not 20, not 30, not 50, hundreds of volunteers serve God and serve people. And serve God by serving people. Every week. Every week, hundreds of people that many of you have no idea who they are or how hard and how diligently and how faithfully they serve God so that miracles can happen in this place. So that miracles can happen around us. Oh, you've heard of Pastor Jesse and Pastor Lauren. Oh, you've heard of Pastor Laura, who was on the stage before. Oh, you've heard of Pastor Brad, who gave an offering word last week. Oh, you've heard of Pastor Sean, who preaches here. You've heard of us. But have you heard of Ron or Ethan, who ran the computers every week so that during the 8 weeks we were shut down, you still heard the word of God? Nameless, capeless. Unknown. They still do it today if you're online. Logged online, I get to hear Pastor Jesse preach and the band play. Have you heard of Ron and Ethan? That's why you can hear me right now. Or Josh Dole, who almost every week ran the sound and is sitting at the desk again right now, running the sound for everyone in the room. Or Aaron Ward, who's up in the booth running the sound for everyone online. Or the ushers who help you find a seat now that we're filling this place up again. The ushers out in the lobby that were like, "We love you, but we're full in there. Can you go to the overflow upstairs? Can you sit out here?" Or the ushers. Or the amazing young people out the front greeting you with a sign and a smile on your way into church that lifts your heart just enough for you to receive the word of God when you get in here, when you walk in these doors. Or Janet Chavez, who every week during the shutdown cleaned this whole building so the volunteers had a safe place to and a clean place to come and worship and lead our church in worship. Or Abby Weber, who before the shutdown was our Adel campus kids pastor. And then since we haven't been able to open that back up yet, she's cleaned here every single week during the shutdown. So we could cancel our cleaning contract and save some money. Pastor to cleaner, all good. And the countless other people that serve God here, none of them wear capes. None of them care if their name goes down in history. None of them. None of them are seeking the recognition that some of them got today. None of them are asking to be paid or publicly thanked or even rewarded this side of heaven. But they desperately, they want to be a part of the miracles. They want to be part of the miracles that happen here every week. They want to be part of souls being saved, families blessed as relationships are restored and shame disintegrates and disappears off people's lives. They want to be part of stories like the story Pastor Brad told last week, where a little girl drowned, text messages went out to the people of God. And the people of God prayed, and the little girl come alive in Jesus' name. They want to be a part of cancer being healed. They want to be a part of their community tasting and seeing the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the generosity of God. They want to be part of it, and so they serve God, and so they serve people. Today, I want to talk to a lot of you about why you should join one of our serving crews. I've got 5 reasons. After the longest introduction that you've ever seen in the history of this church, I've still got to bust out 5 points for you right now. Y'all are the ones who came to the service that doesn't have another service butting up the other end and making me hurry up. Although we do have young adults, so perhaps I should pay attention to that. But I was thinking about this before I give you 5 reasons why you should join a serving crew. Last night before I came out to preach, I was sitting on the couch in the green room back there, just preparing my heart, just praying, speaking to the Lord. And I was like, God, I don't just want to go out there and be like, you all need to serve. I don't want to use wise and persuasive words to manipulate people into serving. God, I want to know that there's more to this. How do we say this in a way that people understand that you have something for them and I want them to lay hold of it? Because here's the thing, I'm not preaching this sermon so that you will serve. It's not it. There's something else. And I just saw this picture of somebody with a headache. And when you have a headache, often you'll take a Tylenol. And after you take the Tylenol, you'll experience release and freedom. And today, when I give you these 5 reasons why I believe you should serve in one of our, you should join one of our serving crews, which is just a new way to say serving team, because we want you to find your crew, yeah, your people. As I was thinking about it, I thought about it like this. Serving is like, it's the Tylenol. The goal is not to get people to take Tylenol. The goal is not to get people to take a pill. The goal is the freedom and the release that comes on the other side of the Tylenol. There is something, there is a freedom, there is 5 good things that God will do and wants to do in your life if you start serving. Serving is the thing, it is the catalyst for the release of these 5 things that God wants to do in your life. Are you ready? Ready to take the pill? 5 reasons to serve, and I'm going to get through them really quick. Serving crews allow me to be part of miracles. Every week someone gets saved here at Eternity Church. It's not only because the word was preached or the band played, it's also because the toilet was clean. Some of you are like, prove that to me. All right. If you had never been to Eternity Church and you went on and read our reviews and the reviews said the toilets are covered in poo, you know what you're going to do? You'll be like, I think I'll go to Lutheran Church of Hope. Their toilets are lovely and clean. You go somewhere else. Because we have people willing to serve, more people come to church. Because people pay attention to the details, more people come to church. So far this weekend, we've already seen 10 people give their lives to Jesus Christ. 10 already. And that's not counting online yet. And that's because people were willing to clean and serve. That's because Kids Church served God up there so parents could come and hear the word. That's because Kids Church preached the word up there and kids gave their life to the Lord. That's because someone painted a room at HQ so the youth team had some place to meet and plan a camp where souls got saved. You were part of it. Families are restored. Suicidal people are finding freedom. Last week, someone came in suicidal and left knowing that God knows them, God sees them, and God loves them. And every usher, every cleaner, every greeter, every band member, every kids' church worker and youth worker were part of that miracle. When I serve, being in a serving crew allows me to be part of miracles. Capes disintegrate, but miracles last forever, amen. Servant groups helped me discover my spiritual gifts. I was thinking about it like this. Super weird, I know, but listen up. What do babies do when they learn to move, trying to discover the parts of their body? Who knows we're a body, right? Anyone got babies? Anyone had babies? Am I wrong? Do babies not do this when they discover they've got feet? They're like, yummy. Anyone else's kids eat their toes? Don't make me feel weird like my family's weird. Give me a wave and yell at me if your kids ate their toes. Some people, yeah, some people in here are like, no, yeah. You maybe you don't have kids, but you did it yourself, all right? What I think about that, check it out, all right? I don't even know if this is Holy Spirit inspired or just me. If it's bad, it was me. If it's good, it was God, all right? Listen up. Kids don't know what to do with their body parts when they're born, right? They're like, I'm just going to eat that toe. And after a little while, they start to realize, I don't think this is what this is meant for. They're like, I like that my hand could bring it up to my face, but I feel like my toes were meant for something else. I feel like my hands were meant for that, but not my toes. That's probably a bit like this. Start serving and you will begin to discover your spiritual gifts. Start serving and you will begin to discover where you as a part of the body belong. You'll be like, you know what? I'm probably not meant to be at the door as a greeter. I've got some serious RBF. I should probably be behind a computer upstairs. Oh, good. Glad you worked that out before somebody walked away being like, wow. But we learn that as we start serving. Better yet, in the name of Jesus, may RBF turn into resting blessed face. Amen. Come on. But as we just take a step of faith and start to serve, we begin to discover where we're supposed to be. What am I saying? Just start sucking some toes. All right, I'm not really saying that. It's a metaphor. Don't anybody get up on Facebook or Twitter and be like, sucking toes, that's what we learned at church today. Sucking toes releases the spiritual. No, I'm just saying, just use what you've got until you discover what you've got is meant for. Amen. And as you start serving, you will discover where you're meant to be. Another one. 1202. All right. Serving crews surround me with people who help me follow Jesus. This might be one of the greatest things that being a serving crew will do. Surround me with people that encourage my walk with God. The writer of Hebrews tells us it like this. He tells us to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. All the more as you see difficult days approaching. Connect groups are great. I love connect groups. I'm all about it. Join a connect group. And now, do you know what? I hate that statement, join a connect group. Just start one, all right? Like, we're going to talk more about connect groups. God bless you. We're going to talk more about connect groups over the next couple of weeks or at some point soon, I guess. But the general gist of what I'm going to say when we talk about connect groups from now on is, you know what? You do not need to come and ask my permission to join a connect group, to start a connect group, or to meet with people, all right? You don't need some minister's permission. Just find someone and be like, hey, you. Want to meet at Coffee Smith or at Friedrich's and read the Bible? Yes. Yes. You don't need our permission or even our endorsement or confirmation for a believer to hang out with another believer and read the Word together. Come on. Not some authoritarian regime that needs to approve everything. You don't need my permission. Just grab somebody. Hey, I see you every week. We sit near each other. Want to have coffee on Wednesday? Maybe read verse of the day? And then as you do, add other people. That's how it happens. I don't even need to know what's happening. God bless you. Just love people. Amen. I don't even know what I was talking about. But serving, this is why I'm going over time. Some weeks I just feel particularly hypo, you know. But you know what I love about being a Pentecostal preacher? You blame God. Anytime you go over, it's like, you are, you got a problem with the Holy Spirit? Check your heart. You know why these band people, they're all tight, the people that were on the band. You notice they're pretty tight with each other. They all met serving God together. When one of them has a rough time, they help each other. When one of them is going through a drama, they pray for each other. They met serving. Same with our ushers. I know, Lomax, you met a lot of people serving, right? Your best mates, you met serving, didn't you? Serving will surround you with people that will help you follow Jesus. Same with our ushers, same in kids' church, same at youth group, same at our cafe. These are all people that help each other overcome, pray for each other, and encourage each other. So serving will surround you with Jesus-loving people that help you love Jesus better. Amen. We are running out of time. Ephesians 3:20. Serving crews increase my faith. Serving crews, you know what? I'm just going to skip it, all right? Know this. Use what God gave you. God gives you more. You know the story? The master goes and he leaves his servants in charge and he's like, hey, I'm going to give you one, I'm going to give you five, I'm going to give you 10. Those who used what God gave them more. Serving, using what God gave you, serving will increase your faith and increase the favor of God on your life. Amen. Every one of you has something that God has given you, and you need to use what God has given you to serve God and to serve people, and not just here, everywhere. And last one as you stand up, because the Aussie guy is finally going to land the plane. Hallelujah. And the last one is serving crews are good for my soul. Serving crews are good for my soul. Too many people feel like they don't belong. Too many people in this world feel like they don't have what it takes. They don't feel like they know how to serve people. They feel like they don't have the skills. Ain't got no skills. Sorry, that's from Napoleon Dynamite. And I do have this bad habit of every single time I preach a sermon, when it gets serious and it feels like, man, I feel like God's about to move. And then I quote a movie and then we have to start again. That happens a lot. And then. Too many people feel like they don't have any skills. Too many people feel like we don't need you. And nothing could be further from the truth. And if I could just say so, even if we didn't need you, we still want you. We'd still want to give you an opportunity to use what God has given you. You see, it's because you were designed for our church and our church was designed for you and our church was designed with a U-shaped gap in it. So even if we don't think we need you, we do, because there is a hole in our church. There is a gap. It's you. We need you to fill that gap. Whether it's running a connect group, finding someone and saying, hey, let's meet together. Let me tell you more about Jesus. Whether it's going to myeternity.com/cruise and discovering all the ways you can officially serve. We work better when you fill the gap. We work better and you work better when we work together. You were designed to be here. We were designed to have you here, and everyone has a place to serve. Everybody has calling. Everybody has a gift to use. And if you feel like you don't have what it takes, let me tell you, God doesn't just call the trained. And God doesn't just use the equipped. He trains those he calls. And he equips those who are willing. That's it. And here at Eternity, we believe in the same thing. And more than ever, as we make our way through this pandemic, we need people who are willing to let God equip them. People who are willing to serve God by serving people. And God will equip you and God will train you and you will have what it takes. And as you do that, you will find value from heaven. You will find purpose from heaven. Serving will bless your life. But one thing serving does that I love is it adds an eternal meaning and purpose to every week that you live and serve. And so we need people who care more about making an impact in eternity than wearing a cape. We need people who desperately want to be part of miracles. People who want to grow in their walk with God. People who want to increase their faith and give God the opportunity to do miracles in their lives and through their lives and around their lives. People who want to discover their God-given spiritual gifts. And people who want to get healthier souls as they bring health to other souls. When God uses you, God blesses you. We're like a funnel or a pipe, but we're sticky pipes. And as God sends blessing to other people through us, some of that blessing sticks to us. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with being famous. There's nothing wrong with experiencing God's favor. And there's nothing wrong with people seeing what you do and knowing your name. Nothing wrong with being blessed. Nothing wrong with me coming up and pinning a cape on Lomax. Nothing wrong with that. We just don't want the cape to be the motivation. We don't want the cape to be the destination. We want the miracles that last forever. People's lives. Serving God. That's why. Just do it. If you want to experience new levels of growth and movement in your life, go to myeternity.com/cruise. Right now, I want to talk to you. If you don't know Jesus, I want to talk to you for a second. Maybe you've been a friend of God before and you've walked away. Maybe you've never, ever given your life to Christ. And you're in the sermon today and you're like, oh, it's not complicated. I can actually understand this Bible, this Word of God. And today you're like, I want to be a part of that. I want to experience God's design for my life. I want to experience the favor of the one who created me. I want my life to begin to look like what He planned it to. Because in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, He thought of you, He saw your life, and He planned to bless it. He planned to heal the brokenness, to equip you with gifts and purpose and talent and destiny. And all you got to do, according to Scripture, is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and He will bring all of that back into your life. For too long, a lot of people made some extra rules about how to be saved eternally. You know, extra rules like don't do this and don't do that. Don't fill the jar to the brim. Don't do all these things. And, you know, those things, they might be good for you, but they don't determine your eternity. They don't determine your salvation. According to the Word of God, all you need to do to experience the salvation of God is to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess it with your mouth. That's it. That's it. And anyone who wants to argue with me, I'm just going to read that scripture to you and walk away. That's the whole story. So, if you want to give your life to Christ right now and experience God's best for your life, pray this prayer with me. Believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and you will experience God's favor on your life. And then for the rest of your life, God will begin to speak to you and guide you and lead you into His plans and His purpose and His favor. Amen. I want everyone in this room, everyone in that room, everybody, everyone online, I want everybody to pray this together so no one's praying it alone. So no one has to feel like they're standing out or anything like that. But we're all in this together. So everybody, let's pray this together, and especially those who've walked away from God or those who've never known Him. Repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross to forgive my sins. And He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive this new life with You as my Lord and my Savior. I receive your forgiveness for the things I've done wrong. And I ask you to help me become all that you designed me to be. Speak to me about the things that need to change in my life. And give me the power to win those battles. I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, someone praise God in here. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, two things I want you to do, okay? Two things I want you to do. Number one, I want you to text the word SAVE to the number 25827. If you're in the United States, if you're in any other country, go to myeternity.com/Jesus and we will send a gift in the mail. No matter where you are in the world, we are obsessed with generosity. Obsessed with it. And we know that a Bible, some good worship, and a gift card to a coffee shop will bless your life, help you live that life, amen. So please do that. The second thing is, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith. I'm going to count to three. I want you to take your first step of faith by lifting up your hand, telling me who you are. And if you're online in another room somewhere else, I want you also, same deal. When everyone's eyes are closed and I count to three, I want you to take a step of faith and lift up your hand. You're saying, yes, I believe that. Yes, I want that in my life. I'm not ashamed of that. I want you to do that. Take that first step of faith, because for the rest of your life, God is going to speak to you about things in your life that He's going to help you overcome. Steps of faith He's going to get you to take for the rest of your life. I want you to take the first one with me right now. So if everybody in the room could close their eyes and bow their heads, nobody looking around, give people the privacy they deserve while making the greatest decision of their lives. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you're coming back to Christ after walking away, I want you on the count of three, take a step of faith and lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up your hands right now. Show me who you are. God bless you. One, two, three, four. Anybody else, just lift up your hand. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Let's all pray for those people in this room and online and upstairs and everywhere else. Heavenly Father, we declare peace, hope, joy, grace, and mercy over their lives. God, where there has been shame, we bind it, we break it in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We break it off their lives. They will not carry shame out of this room. They carried it in. Whatever room they're in right now, they carried it in. Be gone in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for forgiving their sin. God, I thank you that your grace and your mercy is flooding their lives right now. That God, undeserved, you are filling them with purpose, destiny. You are filling their hearts and minds right now with peace. Peace that the world cannot take away. Joy. Joy that the world, joy that corona, joy that shutdowns, joy that economic downturns cannot take away. I declare it over their lives right now in the name of Jesus. Joy, 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 joy. Joy in Jesus' name. The joy of the Lord would be their strength in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Anyone want God to minister to you right now? Heavenly Father, as we enter back into praise, as we end this service on a praise party, a worship party, I ask that your Holy Spirit would just fall afresh on every person. That the things of this world would just grow strangely dim, start to fade away as we focus on you, your glory, your grace, your mercy. God, where people are weary, I pray for joy and strength. Where people are broken, broken hearts, I pray that healing would come as we draw near to you. Where people are sick, I pray healing in Jesus' name. Where there is fear, I pray that perfect love would cast it out. We commit these last 5 minutes to you. God, we know that 5 minutes is an incredible opportunity for an almighty God. And so in this time, I pray you would do in the hearts of every man, every woman, every child, what needs to be done so that we can go about this next week serving you by serving people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we hope you liked that message, and if you did, make sure to check out our other episodes. You can connect with Eternity at myeternity.com, and make sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at My Eternity Church. Have a great week. Love you heaps.